and welcome to the final episode that I probably will be talking about Die Hard, episode 47 of season 9 of Movie Our Minute, the daily podcast, where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the final two absolutely horrendous Die Hard movies, Die Hard 4.0 / Live Free or Die Hard, and Die Hard 5, A Good Day to Die Hard. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off this season and putting it all behind us is Jake Cluett of Deep Blue Sea, the pod. See, I got it right this time. And of Life versus Film. So welcome back to the show, and I do appreciate you being willing to go through at least another minute and 10 seconds of this movie instead of the normal 5 minutes that we've had to endure up until now.
Damn it, Rob, I'm on my vacation. Well, you did message me again, podcasting again about this stupid film. Fine. Exactly. Yeah, let's get it over with.
Exactly. Well, I can understand why you're vacationing, because today is Jay's birthday, so I wanted to wish Jay a very, very happy birthday. You're 25
again.
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
Can't seem to get any older than 25.
Yeah, apparently. Got it. Okay. So have a happy, very happy birthday. I think it worked out really well. We get a Friday birthday for Jay as we end, you know, this season. And, you know, then I'll give you a few days to recuperate from your big birthday partying until you come back for the beginning of next season, you know, which will be on Monday.
Yes, get the weekend off.
Yes. Yeah. And as a little hint, even though we haven't yet let the cat out of the bag what next season is, stay away from trains. You know, that's my advice for now.
Which is a problem. I get trains a lot more often than I used to, and I might be on the train on Monday. Not looking forward to it.
Well, if you see men in strange costumes that don't necessarily look like they belong, get off the train and wait for the next one.
I've started wearing a fake moustache, glasses, and a hat when I ride the train. So I don't see anyone dressed strangely. Everyone else seems to get off when I get on. Apparently. I don't understand.
No clue. Yeah, I'm sure it's fine. With that know about things that happened 51 years ago. So who knows? Yeah. But we are actually here, unfortunately, or fortunately, to finish talking about Die Hard. I can't believe that I've actually now talked about all five Die Hard movies in very, very minute detail. And for me, it's very interesting. It's sort of bittersweet from that perspective. I know that I could do what you and Mark have done and go back and redo them. But, I first of all, I would never want to redo these two. That's for sure. I hope you've at least enjoyed listening to, you know, my suffering because you convinced me not to do this in a 2-hour format, and that I had to spend a little bit more than 2 hours on all these movies.
Of course, I just feel like especially with number four with 4.0, if you'd done that just as a commentary, I think you wouldn't have found as many things to enjoy about it, because you described this as absolutely horrendous, but I think it's only the fifth one you described them both as being absolutely horrendous at the top of the show, which I feel like is unfair to 4.0, which, you know, has its flaws, but it is a long way from being as bad as number five.
True. Okay, I will agree with you on that. And obviously, anybody who's listened to my commentary, you know, of four, they know that I didn't completely hate it. Towards the end, there are some things there are some crazy things that happen. And, sure. You know, that bottom line is, and again, I've said this many times, so Jay, you've heard this also, 4 and 5 just don't feel like Die Hard movies. And that's what it comes down to. And
that's fair, yeah.
You know, and that's my biggest criticism of both of these movies, that they wanted to change the impact of John McClane, you know, just being a regular guy, and now they've put him into these crazy situations where he feels like either you know, an action hero, a superhero, however you want to describe it. But again, it deviates too far away from the premise of who John McClane was in Die Hard 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, you already talked about it, but especially in the sequence in this film when he's like hanging from a helicopter flying through the air.
Yes.
It's ludicrous. And then like how brightly white his like tank top is during that sequence is very odd.
Because he's wearing a shirt above it. So, you know, I guess that,
But it's still like... It's a very dark sequence, but just this white shining, like gleaming. How clean his clothes are in that scene.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
As you've heard me say, I think one of the reasons they did that was so we can actually differentiate who John is, because the scene is just too freaking dark. It's shot
really
silly.
Poorly. Yes. It's watching it like, oh, what? This is silly. Because how old is he supposed to be in? A Good Day to Die Hard. How old is John McClane?
Bruce Willis was 58. How old John McClane is supposed to be?
Sure. That's as close as we can get. But that seems
I'm trying to remember
surprising.
If we saw his dossier, if it said what year he was born. I have a feeling he was born the same year that Bruce Willis was born. That's my assumption. I could theoretically go back and look. If I really, really wanted to. I don't know if I would be able to find the information or not, but
it's fine. Possible. It's not important.
No, of course it's not important. But, you know, it's just trying to be a completionist. That's what it comes down to.
Sure.
But, okay, so episode 47 begins with the credits continuing and ends with Fade to Black. You know, pretty simple way to go through this. There isn't very much to really say here. Okay, John McClane was born in 1955, which means that, yes, he was 58, he was born in the same year.
58, and,
They were both John McClane and Bruce Willis were born in the same year, but for some reason there's a 2-month difference between them. You'd think that they would have just said, all right, let's just give, if we're using the same year, we might as well just give him the same birthday.
Yeah, you'd think.
But, you know, they wanted to wanted to mess this up a little bit. Right, so this 5-minute segment is actually only 1 minute and 10 seconds, where we're going to get the rest of the credits. So, yeah, we're just going to quickly go through the credits because there's really nothing important to say about here. Just like yesterday, when we talked about almost 5 minutes of credits, there was almost nothing to talk about. So we're going to continue with that today. You know, they deal with all the people dealing with the with the music, with the sound, and the score, and then we have a list of the 5 songs that are credited in this movie. You know, we have Symphony No. 9 in D minor by Beethoven. Where's that come about in Die Hard movies? We have New York, New York, which was covered by your friendly neighborhood cab driver, Russian cab driver. So yeah, the cabbie's name is Cabby. So yeah, he's a guy.
Sure, of course his name is Cabby. I figured he didn't really have a name.
Yeah, exactly. Then we have Doom and Gloom, which has been playing over the credits. We have the theme from Die Hard, which every so often they throw out at us, and then the girl from Ipanema. Which I gotta say, I don't remember where it is played in this movie. So I don't know.
I don't remember either. Maybe it's from it's in the scene with Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
They
cut it out, but still put the credit in.
Maybe it's in the theatrical version, which I skimmed through. You know, I wasn't listening to every single thing there, so it was possible that. Sure. Or maybe it was being played like in one of the discos or something like that.
Yeah, maybe. Absolutely. Not prominently.
No, not at all. But they give them credit, so it's worth it. And then we have soundtrack available on Sony Classics, which I always find funny when, you know, you have a movie that has five songs, but they still are releasing a soundtrack. Like, what else is going to be on the soundtrack if it's not mentioned?
Would it be the score? Would they put the score on it as well, maybe? Would that be a different thing?
They could, but again, it would, you know, it wouldn't add that much to it. So.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know. And then they have the producers wish to thank the following for their assistance. And the first thing is the International Cooperation Department Cold War Air Museum in Lancaster, Texas. Which again, it's just it's strange that they keep that on two lines as opposed to putting in one line. Because when I first read it, I thought that the first thing they're thanking is the International Cooperation Department, and I was like, okay, of what? You know, when you have a list, and you know, you think that each one is its own separate thing. So. And whatever, you go through, there are a whole bunch of names here and whatever, but the thing that jumped out at me is, first of all, they have the Budapest City Mayor, the 5th District Mayor, the 6th District Mayor, the 7th District Mayor, the 8th District Mayor, and then the Hunger-Roaring Racetrack, which, okay. I'm trying to think of, where was there a racetrack in this movie?
Yeah. Maybe they didn't actually use it in the film, but they're thanking them because they borrowed something from the racetrack, or they stayed at the racetrack, or it's
maybe
something
they had like
off screen.
A work day that everyone got to go.
Yeah,
to
the rap party was at the racetrack.
Yeah, again, it's just, you know, it's one of those things that just jumps out at you that doesn't make any sense because it's not in the movie itself. But then again, most people don't read the credits, so you're not really sure. You know, people could write in there, you know, they're just thanking a friend for something, and nobody would know, you know, what that friend did or who their friend was or anything like that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. That's just for the friend. But, hey, I got thanked. Okay, on the screen.
So this is just for the racetrack friend. The hunger or
most thanks, if it just says a name, that's most of it. It's just said, thanks. You're in the credits now.
Place, yeah. If it's a name, yes. But if it's a place, it's something else. It's a place. You think that they use the place for something. Maybe part of the film, maybe part of the chase scenes were done on the racetrack, and we just don't know. I don't know.
I my guess would be it's something off screen. It is they just had to use that site for something not in the film. Or again, maybe they filmed something and cut it out. Who knows?
Could be.
Yeah.
Right, and then you know they continue with you know, all the different types of technical stuff that they use. You know, you have Fujifilm and SDDS and Dolby Atmos and Prints by Deluxe. Then we get the typical MPAA approval number with the copyrights, which once again, as we talked about in the last movie, it's just very strange. You know, that it's 20th Century Fox Corporation and TSG Entertainment in all territories except for Brazil, Italy, Japan, Korea, and Spain. And then we have a different copyright in those five countries. So I never really understand why, but on the other hand, I really don't want to spend any time trying to figure that out because it really doesn't make a difference to me about the copyright laws of that. And then when that finishes, the screen goes to black, and then we have a message on screen saying the making and legal distribution of this film supported over 14,000 jobs and involved over 600,000 work hours. Okay, now you being an engineer who likes to do these stats and stuff like that, what is the average number of work hours that one of these people did on this movie?
How many people did you say?
14,000 jobs, over 600,000 work hours.
14,000. So that's going to be 40-something?
42 hours.
42, okay.
Yeah, 42.8.
42 point. Yeah.
So it's close to 43. Okay, Let's round up to 43. So they're basically saying that, on average, every single person who works on the show is worth 1 week. Exactly. It sounds a lot more impressive the way it says it on the screen. You know,
that's where they put that there.
Exactly.
I'm surprised they didn't say 3.6 million work minutes.
That's right. Exactly. But again, it also has to go.
It'll be more than that. It'll be 36 million. Yeah.
No, it's
36 million work minutes.
Right. But it also depends on how many people are actually staying to these very end credits of the movie. You know, and then the final thing on the screen says screen credits are pursuant to the theatrical version of the film, which gives us the answer as to why we are getting a credit for Mary Elizabeth Winstead instead of, you know, even though she's not in the movie at all.
Sure.
Which is interesting because that basically says that if there are any characters that were in the director's cut that were not in the theatrical version, then they wouldn't be credited even here. So I find that a little bit strange. You know, I've seen on different versions of movies, they have like a second set of credits or whatever, you know, towards the end or whatever it is. But apparently not here. But what do you expect from John Moore?
Sure.
We expect more from John Moore. And
we always get less.
Yes, we do. But at least in this movie, again, I'm not going to belittle his entire career because I have absolutely no idea what else. I really don't have anything to say about any of his other movies that he's directed. So, you know, I'm only basing it on this one.
Yeah, sure. I mean, well, we talked about it a few weeks ago. Fire the Phoenix is okay.
Mm-hmm.
that's the one I'd seen. That's still the one I've seen. I haven't tracked down Behind Enemy Lines or
I've Max seen Payne. Behind Enemy Lines, but again, none of them are movies that jump out at me and I say, oh, that was directed by John Moore. You know.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough.
You know, again, he does only have 8 directing credits. And because my assumption is that this movie basically sealed his fate.
Yeah, seems to be. He did IT after this, but that was 9 years ago, and there's nothing since.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Again, I wish him luck and hope that he does make good movies at some point. You know, as opposed to this.
Absolutely. Well, I hope if he wants to. Maybe he doesn't want to make movies. He wants to do something else.
Well, it's possible that he's just fed up with the way the system works because of that. I don't know.
Could be. I hope he's happy whatever he's doing.
Ditto.
But unless he's a weirdo, in which case, get out of here.
Okay. He can say the same thing about us, so that's fine.
Sure, absolutely.
That's right. Okay, so now that we've finished talking about the movie, what we have here is I'd like to mention anything that jumps out at me from the IMDb trivia or goofs. And I found a few things, not very many, that were things that we didn't mention in this movie. That apparently the entire cast of Russian goons, there's not a single one who's Russian. They were played by Slovakian, Hungarian, Serbian, Mongolian, and Ukrainian actors. Fun.
Fair enough.
The original title of this movie was Die Hard 24/7.
I like that last somehow. I don't like A Good Day to Die Hard.
I don't like the name of A Good Day to Die Hard either.
Yeah. But this isn't... I don't like 24/7 either. That doesn't fit with the story either. Maybe that was an initial title before they came up with the story.
Right. I mean, apparently they decided not to use it because it reminded people too much of the TV show 24.
24?
Or whatever. Yeah. I don't think that
makes sense.
That really people would think about that, but okay.
I think they would. I think having a police-driven film with the title of 24 in the title would definitely make people think of it.
It might have made things a little better.
It was a good choice. Maybe.
Might be a good choice not to use it, or is it a good choice that they should have used it?
No, I think it was a good choice not to have called it 24/7. It was a good decision to change it. But I think they should have just called it, I don't know, Die Hard 5 or something, or just take Die Hard out of it and rename Bruce Willis's character to something else.
And the final piece of trivia that I found about it is that every Die Hard film was released during the tenure of a different U.S. president. When the original Die Hard came out, Ronald Reagan was president. Die Hard 2 was George H.W. Bush. Die Hard with a Vengeance came out with Bill Clinton was president. Live Free or Die Hard came out with George W. Bush as president. And this movie came out when Barack Obama was president. Do you have anything that you wanted to bring up? You usually like to bring up, sometimes things that are annoying that I do when I'm talking about a particular movie. So was there anything annoying?
That's generally when I care about the film. I do not care about this film. So I do not have strong opinions to counter what you've been talking about with it. I don't like this film either. I have no thoughts on how you've covered it. I've listened to most of the episodes out at this point.
Okay.
And no, yeah, fine. Okay. And I had no notes on this chapter at all.
Fair enough.
There's not a lot in it to have notes about.
No, not at all. Okay, so we are now at the point where we will go through my choices for Top Cop and Franchise Fever. So do you want to even try guessing, or it's not even worth it for this one?
I don't think it's even worth it. I was thinking about this as I've been listening to it, trying to like make mental notes going through, but there's such a spread this time around, especially with the detectives, that I can't imagine there's many that have appeared on more than one person's list.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, basically, there were a total of for Top Cop, there were 49 different entries among 14 guests. Okay, so I'll just quickly go through my choices. So my number five is Gary Oldman in The Dark Knight as Commissioner Gordon, or as Lieutenant Gordon, and then
in Leon,
he was a cop, that's true, but yeah.
Yes.
my number four was John McClane. My number three was Sherlock Holmes.
No, in Holmes in general, or do you have a specific Holmes?
I would say Holmes in general from this, because I didn't really, when I've been doing this. Anyone who's mentioned someone who's been in multiple movies, like if someone said James Bond, it didn't matter to me. I know James Bond's not a cop, but I'm just saying, if someone were to say James Bond, it doesn't matter which.
Sure, film. I'm with you.
We're talking about the overall, which is one of the reasons why John McClane is a little lower on my list, because he has those two entries that are not as slick as the first three. So that works against
him. Do you have a favorite Sherlock Holmes?
Do I have a favorite Sherlock Holmes? I really enjoyed the...
No, it's fine. If you don't, that's fine.
The latest ones. The... what's his name?
Danny Jr.?
No.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch, right. Yeah. I enjoyed the way that they... I also like Data as Sherlock Holmes. It's like... it's the idea of how Holmes... I was able to figure things out. My number two is Gerard from The Fugitive, which he loses a little bit of points because of the
he doesn't care.
The sequel. Well, he does care. That's true. he doesn't care. The sequel that they did of U.S. Marshals just wasn't as good as The Fugitive. And I didn't care about, and I didn't care about Gerard as much in that movie, but he was just amazing in The Fugitive. And, that was one of the great things about the movie, The Fugitive, is the fact that you care both about Gerard and you also care about Kimball. And so it gives you somewhat of an idea that how do you, you know, who are you rooting for? That's the thing. And you never really know who you want to root for in that movie. And my number one. Sure. Okay, you have a guess of who my number one will be. I'll let you guess that one.
Dirty Harry? Harry Callahan?
Nope.
Is it Marsh Gunderson? Do you enjoy Fargo?
No, I do enjoy Fargo. Oh,
okay.
I like Marge Gunderson, but she just misses the list.
Is it Al Powell?
Yeah, of course, Al Powell. Frank Drebin.
Of course, Frank Drebin.
Yeah.
I will hopefully be seeing the new Naked Gun today.
So
Frank Drebin senior or junior?
Senior. I haven't seen the new one yet, so Leslie Nielsen as Frank Drebin.
I hear it's good.
I also love him in in Police Squad itself. So
of course. Yes.
All great. And the best part about him playing the character of Frank Drebin is that when you've seen older movies where he plays dramatic characters either as good guys or bad guys, you're like, wow, where did this guy come from? That he just, he was completely miscast his entire career until he hit Airplane.
Still, I think he was still effective in the Poseidon Adventure. Or
he was effective because he was an idiot.
I mean, his actions were not conducive to people surviving in that film. And what's this? Forbidden Planet. He's the captain in Forbidden Planet. He's good in Forbidden Planet. I think that's the only pre-airplane Naked Gun films of his I've seen. But I think he works in them, and he just bought over that deadpan delivery to the Naked Gun, and it worked there too. This is why I have high hopes for Liam Neeson, because he can be very funny playing things very straight. Cool. And he has the same initials.
Does he? Yes. Okay. Sure. Okay. So yeah. So the points go like this there was a tie for number four with both Gary Oldman and Eddie Valiant. Axel Foley was number three with 13 points. Oh, those were both 10 points. Again, just to show how few points everyone got.
Yeah.
Axel Foley got 13 points, Frank Drebin got 16 points, and John McClane gets 21 points.
I did try and do a guess as what the five would be, and I only got John McClane was the only one out of those that I guessed. So I didn't even think Frank Drebin or Axel Foley. He was the only one because I had Batman on there. People might say Batman because he's a detective. I know that some of the guests did say Batman.
I had one person who put Batman on the list.
Sure, there we go.
Surprisingly, from the Bat Minute.
Yeah.
Okay, and wait, who else was on your list then?
I had Marge Gunderson on there, and I thought Riggs and Murtaugh might have cropped up.
And I think they were mentioned once. Yeah, they were also mentioned once. Heather was the only one who mentioned them.
Sure, okay.
Yeah, again, when I finish a season, I look back and I say, okay, was this a fair type of top five? And when you see that there are so many choices over so many different places, so it's very eclectic, but it doesn't give you a good consensus, from that perspective. All right. So now we will move on to Franchise Fever. Do you want to try and guess what my franchises are going to be or just...
I'm figuring Star Wars, Star Trek, and James Bond are going to be in there somewhere, so I'm happy for you to read it off.
Okay. All right. So, first of all, once again, 14 guests, and there are a total of 32 different entries. So, comparing it to the 49 for Top Cop, so it's a little, it's a little better from that. So my number five was Toy Story. My number four was the MCU. My number three was Star Trek. My number two was the Lord of the Rings franchise, and my number one is obviously Star Wars.
Sure.
Okay, and points wise, you want to guess which ones were in the top five?
I mean, I had Star Wars, very similar to what you just read off as Star Wars. I had actually the five that you just read off, I had as being my top five for the group. So I had Star Wars, MCU, Lord of the Rings, Toy Story, Star Trek.
Okay, so Toy Story just missed the top five. Toy Story is actually number six on the list with 11 points. Okay. Star Trek has 13 points, number five. Number four is the MCU with 15 points. James Bond also has 15 points. Lord of the Rings has 18 points. And Star Wars has 30 points. Again, far, far ahead of the pack, Star Wars.
How many people put Die Hard in there? Or did anyone put Die Hard in there?
I don't think there's a single person who put Die Hard on this.
Fair enough.
Nope, no Die Hards whatsoever. Which again, makes sense, films. Because we're talking, that's right, the two films drag things down. And again, I was surprised that Indiana Jones was on the list by two of my guests. Because of also the same. Oh, sorry, Die Hard is on the list. What am I talking about? There were two people who had Die Hard on the list.
I would say that the last two Indiana Jones films are better than the last two Die Hard films.
I would agree with that.
So I am less surprised by that.
I would agree with that. But Die Hard actually got more points than Indiana Jones. Die Hard got 8 points.
Oh, it's a Die Hard podcast, so there's bias.
It got 8 points and Indiana Jones got seven.
So sure. Oh, it's close. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Right. So that's the way we had those two top fives. Now for state your motto, I have a number of entries that we didn't use at all. Are you interested in trying to go through those, or it's not worth it?
How many are we talking? How many are left?
There are eight that are left.
Eight. Sure. Rapid fire. Let's go.
Okay. I mean, what I could do is I can give you, if you want to like write them down, I can give you all eight and I can give you the different, mottos, and you have to try and match them up if you want to try and do
perfect.
That.
Perfect. I love it. Let's do that. Read them slowly.
Okay. All right. So mark them down, and everyone listening, mark them down too. So the states we have are Missouri, Nebraska.
You can't sell to Nebraska.
North Dakota. Oklahoma.
Sure, not going to sing it.
Utah. Vermont.
I wrote that down slightly with a Y. So Vermont.
Wisconsin. And American Samoa.
Samoa. Okay, I talked to one of my guests from a podcast earlier today. Was from Samoa. Sounds nice.
Seriously?
Yeah. You're the third continent I've podcasted with this morning, Rob.
Oh, wow. Very interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that there were, actually most people would say the same thing about Israel.
She's in the Gold Coast at the moment. She's in Australia. But I think she's from, anyway, doesn't matter. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay, and now I will give you the names of the mottos that you have to try and match them up. So you have strength from the soil.
Strength from the soil. Okay.
Okay. Hard work conquers all things.
Hard work conquers all things.
Freedom and unity.
Freedom in unity.
And unity.
True, and unity. Okay, sure.
Okay. Let God be first.
Sure. Okay.
Industry.
Fantastic.
Okay. Equality before the law.
Equality. Before the law. Okay.
The welfare of the people is the highest law.
The highest law. Last one.
Forward.
Forward?
Yep.
Great.
Move forward.
Sure. These are all, no offense to the states in question, terrible. I would say there are none of them about Surrey on top that are singing out to be Oklahoma. I thought some of these might be more obvious than they are, when in fact I haven't got a clue about any of them. So great. This is going to be a rousing success. I'm going to get 8 out of 8 easy. No problem. Strength from the soil. In what state do they grow stuff? Vermont is cheese, so not Vermont. Nebraska is cold, so not Nebraska. North Dakota is just a big rock with some heads on it, so that's, they don't grow stuff there. I'm going to say Oklahoma is straight from the soil. Don't tell me if I got any right until I've done all of these. So Oklahoma, straight from the soil. Great. Hard work conquers all things. I'm going to put that as being North Dakota, because they conquered a big rock with some hard work in terms of mining into it. That's in North Dakota, right?
What's in the Mount Rushmore?
Thank you, yes, Mount Rushmore. It's in Dakota. doesn't bode well that I forgot the name of Mount Rushmore. Freedom and unity, I'm going to say, is... that's just a thing Americans say. If it was freedom and independence, be like, oh, that, where did the rockets launch from Armageddon?
The names of the two the two shuttles.
Yeah. But it's not. It's freedom and unity. So it's not going to be... Well, Florida's already done, so it's not going to be Cape Canaveral.
That's right.
Let God be first. In industry. Such a weird tagline, industry. Where do they make stuff? Let's say industry is... I'll say Vermont for industry. Let God be first. I don't know if Samoa is particularly religious. Let's say Samoa is freedom and unity. Let God be first. We'll just check it. Utah. Equality before the law. Wisconsin, and that leaves. We've still got Nebraska is forward, and the welfare of the people is the highest law, is Missouri. And I got them all right, so we need to talk about it.
You actually got one right.
I got one right. Fantastic. More Missouri. Than I thought I was. Hey.
Yes. You got Missouri game. Right. Missouri is the welfare of the people is the highest law. Okay, so the
answer. I knew it.
The answers for all the others. American Samoa is let God be first.
Okay, fine.
Okay, Wisconsin is forward. Vermont
sure.
is freedom and unity. Okay, Utah is industry. Oklahoma okay. is hard work conquers all things. North Dakota is straight from the soil.
Fine.
Nebraska is equality before the law. And as you got, Missouri is the welfare of the people is the highest law.
Sure. I'm sure there's probably a podcast out there that's going state by state. And like, this is why this is the motto for this state, and really delving into the history of it. That's not this show.
No.
This show is, these taglines are terrible. They can all apply to anything.
Exactly.
It's a real crapshoot.
Yeah. Bottom line. And then obviously you have Live Free or Die. Do you remember what state that is?
Sure. New Hampshire.
Very good.
Hey.
you get points for that one.
Great. I'll take them.
Exactly. Okay, so now we have the okay, now we will have a special segment that I've been doing for my returning guests over the last week, where I will give you randomly Die Hard trivia questions.
Okay.
It could be from any of the Die Hard movies. So I originally made up 35, and there are 10 left. So we're just going to go through all the 10 that are left. You know, so,
fantastic. Let's go.
Yeah. So obviously we're just going to spin the wheel. We have the wheel of names. Spin around.
His name is John McClane. Yeah. That's my answer. He's played by Bruce Willis.
Okay, so this one is from the original Die Hard. Okay.
I'm familiar.
What does John say he is not doing when he's accused by the 911 operator of violating FCC rules?
He's not ordering a pizza.
Close. He's not ordering a f***ing pizza, but yes.
I'm sure. I didn't want to have to make you edit my answer. I was trying to be kind.
I'm testing your actual knowledge of Die Hard.
He's not ordering a pizza lady, if you want an extra bit.
That's right. That's true. That's true. Okay, let's go with the next one. Okay, from Die Hard 2. Who plays the lead villain at the Annex Skywalk, named O'Reilly?
The Annex Skywalk? Well, William Sadler is the main villain of the film. Is that who you're talking about?
No.
Who's O'Reilly? Because John Amos is the next villain, but he's not O'Reilly.
What's the scene with the Annex Skywalk when the SWAT team gets killed? Who's the lead bad guy there?
SWAT team gets killed.
And his name is O'Reilly.
I don't remember a character called O'Reilly. Oh. Shoot, what's his name?
Describe him.
Frank, is it Franco? No, that's not the character O'Reilly. So I've named the three villains. Is William Sadler, Johnny?
No, he was the team leader.
I can't remember what the Annex Skywalk is.
It's when they killed the SWAT team. You know, when they're when they're on the moving escalator.
Robert Patrick?
Yes.
No. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Okay. The Skywalk. Sure. I'm with you. Yeah.
All right.
That's a deep cut for Die Hard 2 is Robert Patrick being in it. Christ.
Okay, but I didn't say that all of these are very easy.
Oh, no. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. From Die Hard 4, who directed Die Hard 4.0?
Len Wiseman.
Very good. Okay. Spin the wheel again for the next one. Okay. From Die Hard with a Vengeance. How does John notice that the four cops in the elevator are imposters?
The badge number is the same as his friend's badge because he always plays the same number for the lottery.
Excellent.
So he remembers his badge.
Very
good. All right. Which a truly crazy thing to notice and remember, in my opinion. not me talking about the film.
But it's John McClane. What do you expect?
Right. And he sees it in a mirror as well. So yeah, it's like reversed. That's right.
He's able to read numbers backwards. Who is the actor who plays Carl in Die Hard 1?
I don't know his name. He's a dancer. He danced when he was younger. And I will never remember his name. So I'm not even going to try. When you say it, I'll be like, oh yeah, sure, that's him. But it's never going to come. Pass.
Okay, Alexander.
Sure, I believe you.
Alexander Goodenough.
Alexander Goodenough, yes, of course. That was never going to come.
Okay.
Not today, not at this time. Not after 3.5 hours sleep. That was never going to come.
Okay.
Had I known there was going to be a test, I probably would have got more sleep.
No comment.
As it stands, I'm gonna get more sleep after this podcast.
Probably it seems that way. Okay. From the original Die Hard, where does John plan on staying while in LA?
Pomona with Cappy.
Very good. Excellent. Captain Roberts.
Be in the car half the time.
Maybe she just stay by us.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know what Pomona is. I don't even heard it in Die Hard.
There you go. Okay, in Die Hard with a Vengeance, what is Zeus's occupation?
He works in like an electric shop. He's an electrician.
That's right. Excellent. Okay, in the original Die Hard, what does Holly say that her assistant Ginny's baby is ready to do?
Hand bar?
Yes, it's very good, Jay.
Yeah. I've seen that film a bunch.
And I only questions. I only chose questions that I knew the answers to beforehand. I didn't look up questions. You know how to make questions. It was just things that I knew from the movie. Okay, in Die Hard 2.
Hence, there's not many questions about number 5.
That's right.
Like, who cares? Who knows what's going on?
The one from number 5. There were like 4 questions from number 5, and you know they just didn't last for you.
Great. I'm thrilled about that.
I'm sure you're very happy. About that, yeah. What is the janitor's name in Die Hard 2?
Carl? Carl? No. Carl was in Die Hard 1. What's his name? Picture him. Odd. What did Rennie Harlan call this guy? It's in my head somewhere, but I can't find it. I can picture him. He's playing older than he is in real life, in that because he's like he feels like the oldest man in the world in that film, and that he was like still acting last year. It's like, wow, this guy's still with us. What is his name? I don't know. This is gonna be annoying. I don't know what it is. I can't think.
Who are you? My name's.
I give up.
My name's. I'll be damned.
No, it's not coming. Yeah, I'm gonna admit defeat. I can't think.
It starts with an M.
Well, I feel like it's a short name. No, I give up.
Marvin.
Marvin, sure. I was thinking one syllable. I was wrong. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I had my first guess of Carl. I had the right second and third letter, at least.
Yeah, you can't get all of them. What can you do?
You can have a third of a point.
You can have a third of a point, yes. All right. And the final question for you, Jay. What 1974 blockbuster disaster movie inspired Roderick Thorpe to write the novel Nothing Lasts Forever?
Towering Inferno?
Yes, Towering Inferno.
I do like how you still spun the wheel to give me my questions, despite just giving me the last 10 questions you had.
Of course.
So the wheel just dictated the order rather than which questions I get.
I knew which questions you were.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I do like the fact that the Towering Inferno one is the final question. So I like that.
Yeah.
Because that's the inspiration
where it all began.
All of this. Exactly. Yeah. We go back to where it all began. Exactly. Okay. So is there anything else you want to discuss about this movie or the Die Hard franchise in general?
Well, there is one thing we need to do, which is you know, we need to. Has this affected your rankings of films you've covered? You know, the films that you described as being absolutely horrendous. Do you consider them any better than the films that you love that you covered in previous seasons?
And you and I both know that the answer to that is no. they both. So the list is as stands: Saving Private Ryan, The Great Escape, Die Hard, It's a Wonderful Life, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, When Harry Met Sally, Die Hard 2, Die Hard 3.
Sure.
I'm going to have a really, really long pause. Die Hard 4. I'm going to have an even longer pause that's going to last another few hours.
Die Hard 4. Don't edit that in. Don't like cut that out of the podcast. Don't even tell. Yeah.
The hour of waiting. Yeah, well, that's why I'm just saying it. So this way, know that I've said it and it doesn't need to be there.
For the listeners, I've gone and had a nap, come back, and he's still pausing. And then he said Die Hard 5.
You had a 2-day nap.
Yep.
Okay. So also we usually talk about the the length of the episodes and how many hours I spend talking about the movies. Now, obviously, because this season's a little bit different, it only had 47 episodes and there were 5 minutes at a time instead of 1 minute at a time. It's really hard to distinctly compare it to any of the others. Okay.
Yeah.
But so where do you think it fits in? In general, like how many minutes do you think I've now talked about it? How many hours I've talked about it? And, what's the average number of minutes per episode?
I think I'll say the average minute, the average episode length is going to be longer than normal because you're covering more in it. And some of them did top over an hour.
Correct.
So 49 episodes. I'm going to say
47.
Overall, 47 episodes. I think the overall time you spend talking about it is going to be, I'll say a little less than 47. I'd say 45 hours total. 45 hours total.
Okay,
so the average episode length will be like.
So it's 40, about 41 okay. hours. I'm giving today's episode an hour.
Sure. So the episode length average is going to be, about 50 minutes, somewhere around
53. And again, it's 53. It's much higher. The next closest was both Die Hard 2 and It's a Wonderful Life, which were both at 37 point something. Die Hard 2 was the longest so far. The longest episode was 37.85. Oh.
Okay.
And how many... so since we talked about the number of hours, so the minutes obviously is far less than any of the others. It's 700 minutes less than Planches and Automobiles.
Sure, yeah, sure film.
Right, so it's only 2,447 minutes, where Planches and Automobiles, which is 90, the movie is 93 minutes. There were 93 episodes. That's 3,145. So that's the
okay.
Right. Okay, so now I will reveal what's going to be my next season, which will start on Monday.
I'm eager to find out.
Are you really?
No, I know.
Well, you have to find out. You have to find out what you're going to be talking about on your way home next Monday.
I help you pick it. I'm a consultant in this process.
That's right. You are not just a consultant. You are a high-level consultant for these
seminars. Sure, okay.
Yes.
And senior executive consultant.
That is correct. season 10, which will begin on Monday, will feature the 1974 action thriller The Taking of Pelham 123, starring Walter Matthau and Robert Shaw. Among others, there are other actors that are in that movie that we will discuss along the way also. So, that season is going to begin Monday, and we will be going almost till the very end of 2025. The final episode is scheduled to drop on the 27th of December. So, between now and then, we have 105 episodes.
Who's the guest for that episode?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet who's going to be on the final episode.
Some schmuck.
Yeah. Probably. But it won't be on your birthday, sorry. Yeah.
That's fine. It'll be on a Saturday, though.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, pretty good that you know that it's on Saturday. I know you're
looking at a calendar.
I know that. I actually used to know somebody years and years ago who was an autistic savant. And if you told him, he would go around people and ask them, when were they born? And you would say the date and the year, and he'd be, oh, that was a Tuesday, and he was always right. He knew, he had memorized the calendar for the last 100 years or whatever it was. It was pretty amazing.
I could have worked that out because Christmas Day is always the same day of the week as my birthday, so I could have figured it out what day it was.
That's actually not true.
It is true because my birthday was actually yesterday when this podcast comes out.
Your birthday is the 7th?
Yeah, it always has been.
Oh, crap. For some reason, I thought it was the 8th.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, I realize that. But,
it's the 7th of the 8th. So there's an 8 in there somewhere. It's 7, 8, 8. 7, 8, 8, 7 is my date of birth.
Oh, well. Sorry.
In UK. You're fine. It's all good.
Oh, yes,
I'll still be celebrating tomorrow or yesterday. Today.
Oh, wow. I don't know why I said the total was the 8th.
You're fine. Don't worry about it.
Oh, well. Sorry about that.
No worries.
No, because now I thought you got it wrong because by saying that it's the same day as Christmas, but it is. It falls out on Thursdays. So there you go. Okay. Excellent. Okay. So is there anything else you want to bring up?
No, I want to apologize for suggesting you go through this and making you talk about these films you don't like in more detail.
I got to tell you, it was a lot more fun than I thought it would be.
Good.
I now
then you're have welcome.
A much better understanding of the movie itself, especially this one. I mean, again, we've talked about a lot of the plot holes and things like that, but you know, for a change, it was nice to talk about something that I wanted to love but don't. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, it's not just picking any random terrible movie. This is a movie, you know, that has a basis that you know, I've talked so many hours about, you know, about John McClane and his life and all that stuff. And here, this movie just doesn't fit in with the whole thing. And Die Hard 4 also, to some degree, doesn't fit in. So it was interesting. I'm very glad that I did 5 minutes at a time as opposed to 1 minute of time. That goes without saying. And I'm assuming that my all of my listeners are happy about that too, even though the episodes were slightly a little longer. I think that's about the best way to put that.
Well, I'm happy that you're getting back to a good film.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm definitely looking forward to starting to record episodes for the Thing of Hell 1-2-3. I'll start contemplating what I'm going to be doing for season 11. You know, but
do you think you'll do another franchise at some point?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Because it's, you know, even if we go on the list of, you know, Franchise Fever and stuff like that, there's no franchise that jumps out at me that I say that I would love to go movie by movie through all of them. A, that hasn't already been done, or B, that I like all the movies. You know, that's what it comes down to.
Fair enough.
My original, as you know, my original plan for this franchise was to do 1 through 4, 1 minute at a time, and then 5, try and find something to do with it. Again, I'm glad I did it the way that I did it in the end, because 4 itself also has its issues, and it's much better that I did it 5 minutes at a time instead of 1 minute at a time. And then to answer your next question as to do I prefer to do it 5 minutes at a time or 1 minute at a time, if that was what you were going to be asking.
I wasn't, but I'm interested now that you brought it up.
I prefer the 1 minute at a time. Both from a preparation aspect and both from a completionist aspect, because when you're doing something 5 minutes at a time, I felt that there were things that I glossed over because I was looking at the clock. But when I'm doing it 1 minute at a time, I generally don't have that issue. Because there's a lot less there's a lot less to have to get through in order to do the 1 minute as opposed to do the 5 minutes. If that makes any sense.
It does. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, that's what it comes down to. Especially because of the way that I do it. I mean, there are, you know, like the way that you do Deep Blue Sea the pod, you're not going
DVD chapters.
Yeah. No, but you're not doing it you're not going through every little thing one by one that happens.
Sure. Yeah, line by line.
You're picking the interesting things to talk about along the way, which is great. And you know, that's why I enjoy living, enjoy listening to that also. But it just doesn't fit the pattern of how I've been doing these things. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. And there are other podcasts that break it down even more minutely than you do, where they talk about like, oh, at second 23, this happens, and at second 24, this happens. And I think that's going too far, personally. Yeah. But other people like that and appreciate that kind of thing. So however people do their podcasts, it works for other people, it doesn't work for others. So, yeah.
That's right.
Everyone's got their way of doing it, and there is no correct or incorrect way.
Correct.
It's art.
That is true. That is true. I mean, I have guests that have never been in on other Movies by Minute podcasts, and they think that I'm this groundbreaking podcast that deals with these things. And I keep telling them I'm not the first one to do this. And they're like, yeah, but
there have been many.
Exactly. But you're the first one, to invite me on it, that type of thing. But that's fun. And that's why it's fun. So, okay. With that, Jay, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Jay Kluwit over the next 3 days before he's right back here in the hot seat?
Sure. So Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, is my most regular place you can find me. It's a weekly show where my friend Mark Hoffmeyer and I talk about Deep Blue Sea, the trilogy, scene by scene, and other films that are Deep Blue Sea adjacent, interspersed in between. An episode I recorded this morning was on Piranha 3D, which is similar to it's another aquatic animal creature feature. It's a lot of fun. People die. Lots of people die in that film. It's very entertaining. And that's DBC-thepodcast, everywhere you can find podcasts. We also did Con Air, scene by scene. That's Con Air, the podcast. LifeVersusFilm.com is my personal site. Yeah, that's about it.
And we're still waiting for that twister, minute by minute, or scene by scene.
I think we're not going to do that. I think we're stepping away from that as a potential project. As much as I would like to, I don't think it's going to happen.
All right, well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you feel like sending me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@movierob.net. So, Jay, once again, thank you very much for closing out or for starting and closing out another season with me. I do appreciate
thank you having me.
Even when I know that you don't have much sleep because you're too busy podcasting all around the world.
That's entirely my fault. I just thought, I've got that day off. I can put as many podcasts in. I don't need to sleep. I can start a podcast at 1:30 in the morning. That's not a problem. So all good. We're all good.
Okay.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. So for one final time, possibly forever, I will be, everyone have a great weekend, and I will be back on Monday. But until then, yippee-ki-yay,
mother. Yippee-ki-yay!
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Oh, they're red, white, and blue, yeah. But it ain't me. It ain't me. I ain't no fortunate one.